Next case for argument is Teague v. Northwestern Memorial Hospital. Mr. Muldoon.
Good morning. May it please the court. What was Gloria Teague to do? She had suffered an exacerbation of her asthmatic condition. She was going to her doctor regularly. The doctor had told her and her employer that she expected Ms. Teague to be able to return to work shortly. The hospital did not send a letter of
termination. But she can't work, right?
We know that now. We did not know that at the time, Judge.
I know, but then she's not protected by the ADA if she's not capable of doing the work.
At the time she filed her original EMT.
We now know she's not capable of doing this job. Why should she have any remedy? I don't understand.
Because the permanent disability was caused by her working at the hospital under these conditions, which she was not granted an accommodation.
But there's no accommodation that would enable her to do the work.
Judge, we don't know that.
We do know. She can't be around these chemicals because of her asthma.
But there are other things in the housekeeping department at the Northwestern Hospital that she might be able to do. She might be able to be a supervisor. She had certainly worked there. She had worked there for...
She's going to go from being a cleaner to a supervisor. It's a totally different job.
Judge, it happens all the time. How does someone at McDonald's become a supervisor? They work on the burgers.
She worked
in the housekeeping department for years.
What's the evidence that she's qualified for another job?
Judge, there are things in the record that she was qualified for other jobs, although that her seniority prevented her from receiving those.
Well, if she couldn't get them, what's their relevance?
At the time, she was qualified at the time, but she did not have the seniority. You know, at this point, if the hospital would have done what it's supposed to do, sit down and discuss the disability with Ms. Teague and try to figure out if there was something. If there wasn't anything for her to do, that's a different story. That's a different case scenario.
Was this interactive process supposed to take place while she was on medical leave?
Judge, it was supposed to take place from the beginning when she originally asked for an accommodation doctor in March of 2008.
She got some accommodation.
She had some that were sporadic. They were for brief periods of time, but it was more that it was an official policy of the hospital. No one sat down with her and engaged in this interactive process.
Did she initiate any interactive process?
She did. In March of 2008, she sent a letter through with her doctor asking for an accommodation. That letter was not responded to until February of 2009. 3 months later is when she suffered this exacerbation. And the February letter asked for information that the hospital already had, but information regarding her disability. And then no contact after that, except for Ms. Teague giving regular reports about her condition to the hospital until she finally filed an EEOC claim. And then after that, 3 days later, they terminate her. So there was no so-called punch in the nose.
Look, the government said in its brief, Northwestern, since May 2009, Teague has been unable to work in any capacity. May 2009 to June 2012, her doctors communicated to NMH that she was unable to perform any job, having no ability to work and unable to perform any job at current time. Now, in your reply brief, you didn't take issue with that.
I thought I did, Judge, is that that is 20/20 hindsight. I don't know if that was in my brief or in my reply brief, But that's requiring her to have a crystal ball on May 9th.
She's you talked about equitable estoppel in your reply brief.
I did talk about that, Judge.
What's this crystal ball business?
Because
if she can't work, she can't work. And she's not protected by the Act.
She's being told that she's getting better, that she's going to be returning to work shortly.
The doctor's telling her this, right?
Her doctors are telling this.
While she's on leave.
While she's on leave. Are you telling everyone who is out of work because of a disability that they need to file a complaint with the EEOC right when that happens, when they're being told they're going to go back to work?
I'm talking about filing a complaint. I am saying that as far as I can tell, she is not capable of doing any job.
Okay. If we're going to put the statute of limitations issue...
I tested that because... She says, according to the Northwestern's brief, she can't work, period.
Let's take the statute of limitations off the desk for a second. If we're talking about whether she's a qualified person under the Act to bring the lawsuit, this disability was caused by her working at the hospital over the series of years. That's an issue of fact for trial.
The trial of what? What is being violated? I don't understand. That sounds like a tort suit that they poisoned her, caused her to become disabled. You certainly have a remedy, but that's not ADA.
Well, they should have. What we're saying, Judge, is that
she got total Social Security disability, didn't she?
Afterwards,
and what,
Judge.
Did she allege her date of onset of that?
I think that was May 9th, Judge, but that was after
2009.
That was after.
So she's not a qualified person after that.
What I'm trying to say, Judge, and this goes to the crystal ball argument, is that in May, the only person who knew that she was not going to be able to return to work would be God at that point. The doctors, the hospital, everyone thought she was going to be returning to work. Everyone thought
but
that she was qualified.
But how do you connect this to a cause of action under the Americans with Disabilities Act?
Because it was the failure of the hospital to accommodate
but
this disability.
But she can't be accommodated because she can't do any work.
She could have been accommodated up until
but
May
9th. Why is she up until when?
Well, up until she... got this permanent disability.
The failure was to interact the way you're alleging.
The failure is to interact, and they should have been.
And that's the only thing. If whatever doctor's reports are going on, if there had been an interaction, I assume they would have said, yeah, here's her present condition, she can't come back to work. And I don't know what you were expecting to have from this interaction. You think she could get another job
the hospital. The interaction should have begun in 2008, in March of 2008.
That's not answering Judge Mannion's question.
Well, if I understand the question correctly, is that how did the failure to interact cause the injury? Is that
yeah,
the question?
Yeah, well, pretty much, because that's what you're focused
and
on.
That's what
I'm saying that's the only...
And that's what I'm saying, because she continued to work from... March of 2008 through May of 2009, and it was during that period of time when the failure to accommodate, the failure to take her away from these dangerous chemicals.
That's your tort claim. You're under the wrong statute. You say that because the failure to interact resulted in her continuing in this dangerous employment, as a result of which she became totally disabled. That's a tort claim.
Judge, I...
It's also the end of the 300 days. If all that was happening, that's when that time begins.
Well, it was ongoing. There was an interaction in February of 2009, and then there was this giving continual reports up until the time she filed the complaint. The type of case that was brought, Judge, was brought, there was a prior case, Swieck, Sweich versus Gottlieb in the district courts, and that was also brought under the idea as a similar type of thing where the woman had lupus that was exacerbated by her work at the hospital. So the and the ADA seems to trump
the
state case.
The ADA is about making sure that disabled people who can work have are given a chance to work. It's not about providing remedies for people who are disabled by misconduct or negligence or what have you by their employer.
She was able to work, Judge, at the time. They did not accommodate her, and now she's permanently disabled. Judge, we submit that that's a violation of the ADA.
Permanent disability was a lot more serious, caused by an employer would be a lot more serious than failure to have enabled her to
no.
Anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you,
Mr. Muldoon. Mr. Thorstenson.
Thank you, Judge. If it pleases the court. Northwestern did interact with Ms. Teague back in 2008. It did not provide the accommodation she wanted, but it did provide her.
Did she get a tort suit?
She did not, Your Honor. Nor did she file a workers' comp claim. The ADA is exactly what you described it as. Is it meant to accommodate somebody disabled, regardless of the cause of that disability, to allow them to work in the workplace? But from from 2009, when she has the exacerbation, she is totally incapacitated and unable to work in any capacity, in any job, once she leaves the workplace. Northwestern treated her fairly after that. It provided her with 12 additional months of leave pursuant to the terms of the collective bargaining agreement with her union. It allowed her to stay out on leave. It provided her, paid out her sick pay, her vacation pay. It provided her with long-term disability benefits until she was able to qualify for Social Security disability benefits. At no point after she starts that permanent leave in May 2009 is she able to work in any capacity. Mr. Muldoon would have you believe that there was some crystal ball that perhaps she might be able to come back to work. What he's relying on is not supported by the record. What all of the medical documentation, all of the documentation provided to Northwestern, says that after May 2009, she was totally unable to work in any capacity.
Was he right about that onset date on the Social Security benefits, that the claim was the disability onset in May of 2009?
Yes, Your Honor. What he's pointing to is FMLA forms that say, doctor, how long do you expect this period of incapacity to last? And what the doctor rightfully filled out is either unknown, or I expect it to last perhaps 6 months, or it's not ever going to change, which is what the doctor ultimately says. At that point, Northwestern writes Ms. Teague a letter and says, we want to remind you of our 12-month rule. You're approaching the end of your 12 months. If you are unable to return to work with or without accommodation, your employment will be terminated pursuant to the terms of the collective bargaining agreement. If you believe you can come back to work or have any ideas how we might accommodate you, please let us know. Northwestern did not hear from Ms. Teague. It terminated her employment on July 12, 2010. If you go back to 2008, Northwestern did, as Ms. Teague says in her deposition, provide light duty in response to her doctor's restrictions. She says, sometimes Northwestern made me work outside of my restrictions in 2008. I knew it was discrimination at that time. That's when her 300-day clock started to run. She did not file her charge of discrimination until approximately at least 13 months later. She also says that in 2008 and in early 2009, Northwestern should have transferred her to a different position. She says, I knew it was discrimination at the time. She did not file a charge of discrimination until at least 13 months later. Those claims are clearly untimely. Once we come to May 2009, and after that, she is totally incapacitated, totally unable to work. She is not a qualified individual, and Northwestern had no obligations to either interact with her or accommodate her. For that reason, we believe we should affirm that you should affirm the Judge Buckley's decision.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Thorsten.